Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA, and welcome to our 58th podcast this February 21st, 2019. Today, once again, we are coming to you from Western Pennsylvania. Our digital audience is back, electronic as they are. Hi, guys, ladies. So, hey, anyway, let's get on with the show. We've had one casino trip thus far in February. We spent an overnight at the Rocky Gap Casino Resort in Flintstone, Maryland, and we'll be sharing some of the highlights with you later in the podcast. We're also just 3 days away from our flight to Las Vegas, where we will be spending the last week of February. But I want to start our show today with a call from Colorado from a man who admits to being a high roller, beginning crap games with $10,000 worth of chips. Let's listen to what he has to say. Hey, I will blank out a very small portion of the call as he gives his email address, which is not meant to be shared, we assume. So here we are, our caller from Colorado.
Yes, my name is Gene, and I live in Rifle, Colorado. I fly to Vegas about twice a month out of Grand Junction. What I'd like to do is I'd like to get a copy of your book, Craps Across America, and I'd like to read that. Coach, you and I play very similar, and we do a lot of things exactly the same way. I just found your podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I will have a lot of insight to offer you, but I want to have a little bit better understanding as to how you play, and the best way I can do that is read your book. If you could, you could send me an email in there on March the 1st. I'm staying at Paris. And I'm just going to miss you by one day. Look forward to talking to you. And one last point. I love the fact that you're teaching people how to play with a very low bankroll. I haven't found any of your podcasts for any players like myself. My buy-in at a craps table is $10,000, but I just do things very similar to you, except with more money. Look forward to hearing from you. Goodbye.
Thanks for the call, Gene. As we mentioned, we did take your email address out of the playback of your call. And also, we are returning home the morning of March 1st from Las Vegas to Pittsburgh, so it looks like we're going to miss you by just a few hours, but you know, maybe next time, because we both go to Las Vegas very often. You do, we do. Again, maybe next time. But I do want to address several of the things that you mentioned. Yes, God, I don't remember the exact year, but it has to be at least a decade or more. I had a craps book out called Craps Across America, and I got kidded a lot about that title because I should have probably made it Playing Craps Across America. I guess enough said about that. But I thought it was an interesting book for the first time out, and it did sell several thousand copies. And the book was about a tour that I had taken. I just call it a craps tour, where I just drove across the country and stopped at states where there were casinos and stayed there and played craps. So I played craps almost every night on this tour across the country. And in addition to just playing, I interviewed dealers who were willing to be interviewed. And I hit a jackpot in terms of interviewing dealers at Ellis Island. At that time, dealers, if they had their credentials on them, after shift changes on the strip and anywhere else, I suppose, they could drink for free at Ellis Island. And so I was playing craps there in that small table that they have, and this group just poured in. I mean, 40, 50 people just poured in, you know, and they went to the slots, they went to the tables themselves, they also drank, you know, got beers at the bar, showed their credentials. So I had a chance to talk to a couple of them, and they were older gentlemen, and they had actually worked tables where Jimmy the Greek played years ago. And Jimmy the Greek, of course, was one of the most successful and unsuccessful craps players of all time, because it's reported that he won millions of dollars playing craps. He also gave it all back. I think a little bit of all of us has been there, but not to that amount. But anyway, no one's ever written a book about how he played, and so we mentioned some of the strategies that these dealers shared with us. And again, this is secondhand. I don't want to mislead anyone. In the book, I don't interview Jimmy the Greek. I interview dealers who worked tables where he played, you know. But anyway, talk about five or six strategies, as well as how much fun it is to travel and stay at casinos. And I never really stopped doing it. And we did it so much and so often after that book came out that I think that's why the podcast exists, because we're always traveling near and far to go to casino resorts. And, you know, we talk more than just about craps. You know, we talk about all the ancillary experiences that are associated with traveling, in particular casino resorts in general. And we've stayed up and down the Strip, not in every casino on the Strip, but very few people have stayed in as many as we have. I can promise you that. But that's the question you had, is about getting a book. And after the sale of a couple thousand copies, and I was getting $1.19 per copy, that's the deal I had. The book sold for just under $8. And I changed positions. I applied for a job with a nonprofit, and a nonprofit organization, and major part of my responsibility was to be a fundraiser. And the people at the nonprofit made it clear to me that I couldn't have a book out about gambling and then ask people to give money. We were involved with more than a $50 million campaign, which we far surpassed that amount. You know, so they were very happy with me, and you know, it was a nice stay there. I was there 9 years, but so that's what happened to the book. It's out of print, and I have just a few copies for my family, the grandkids, to pass on, and I probably will put out another book. It's going to be a masterpiece. So if you see the book on eBay, and I've seen it once in a while, and people are asking a couple $100 for it, don't buy it. It's not worth it. But the next one might be. So just be patient with that. We're really excited to hear, whether it's by email or phone call or in person, any of your strategies or play. And we're pleased to hear that you play a lot like we play. And I think you can play the way we play with incredible amounts of money. And I think you can also enjoy craps playing as low rollers. And that's what we do, because I don't want people to go into a negative expectation game and, you know, go in for $2,000 and lose it and put a real stress on their family, their marriage, maybe deprive your children of necessities. So that's why I just don't want to encourage it. But if you if it's in your ballpark, you know, and you can go into games for $10,000 and not harm your family, so be it, you know, enjoy it. I've never played craps with anyone who's gone in for that much. I did. I was at the Palms. It had to be 12 years ago or so, when there was a National Basketball Association players convention there, and I was at the craps table with a lot of NBA players. No major stars, but I can tell you this: I was the shortest person at the table. Everybody was 6'4", 6'6", 6'7", 6'8". You know what I mean? And but anyway, I had a lot of fun with those guys, and I think they were going in for $1,500, $2,000. That's, you know, the richest table I ever played at. But going in for $10,000, serious stuff. And I agree with you that you can certainly be very successful with the strategies that we employ. So we're going to talk about some of our craps travels, recent ones in February today. I hope you enjoy them, and we're looking forward to getting together face-to-face and sharing our experiences in this game we both love, and that's the playing of craps. So let me return to my stay with my wife Janie at the Rocky Gap Casino Resort in Flintstone, Maryland. And it used to be about 2.5 hours from my home, but now a new expressway out of Somerset, Pennsylvania. So we take the turnpike from our home in the Pittsburgh suburbs to Somerset, get off there, and we take 219 south. And it used to be a windy road. It would, it's almost like country road, take me home, West Virginia. You know, and it was kind of a dangerous road, too, particularly if there was heavy rain or snow, because a lot of coal trucks were on that road. But now they opened an expressway, and it's 65 miles per hour, and you can, it almost takes 30 minutes off our trip, so it's just barely over 2 hours away. We take 219 to in Maryland, I-68, and we just go a few miles to get to the Rocky Gap Casino Resort, which is in a state park, a Maryland state park, called Rocky Gap State Park. So that's where that clean lake comes from. The casino is built right on the lake. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous casino. And the lake, of course, Maryland state parks are immaculate, immaculate. Has a white sand beach, you know, man-made sand beach, and the lake is beautiful. So you get, they have a wonderful golf course there. It's highly rated. But boy, it's $5 tables, and that's, you know, that's pretty exciting. So I threw the dice in the pass line when I had the dice, and I didn't throw the dice when I didn't have the dice. I went to deal or no deal, and that's where you put the same amount of money on the pass line and the dome pass, and you're basically just playing dome pass odds. The amount is up to you. I use $30, and then I place the 6 and 8. I also make hardway bets with that too, you know, because I'm on a don't. So if the number is a hardway number, I make a bet on it, and, you know, sort of like a hedge, but it kind of pays. If it hits more than once, I'm going to have more money on it than I'm going to make money, even if I lose the don'ts, you know. So, all right, I've talked about do or no deal in the past. Well, I've turned out I did real well in the craps game there, and I was exploring three-card poker, because our last podcast was on three-card poker, one of the features of the podcast, and there's a version of three-card poker I'd never played, and what they had is they had a bet you could, it was really a strange prop bet for most people, but I just, what the hell, I threw a $5 chip on it, because I was up a couple hundred from the craps game, and what it was is the player's cards and the dealer's cards would be combined, and then you would get a high payoff or something. And I won $175 combining my cards with the dealer's. And it's just pure luck. And then I cashed out. And then I went over to one of those 7 foot high slot machines that, you know, it's $5 machine if you play max. And it's a progressive machine. The progressive was way down. Usually it's in the 80s or 90,000. It was down to 12,000. But I always throw $20 in there. Well, on the first crank, I get 3 sevens of different colors. And that paid $50. So, I mean, I thought, boy, this is great. So, you know, then I went to the video poker. I was going to treat myself to a cold one. And at the bar, I was dealt a straight and dealt a flush back to back, you know. So I'm thinking, boy, I'm radioactive, you know what I mean? So that we stayed there on a Thursday, came home on a Friday afternoon, picked up our dog, Oliver, from his suite at the Pop Hotel where he stays. And then I drove down Saturday. Janie was working, so I drove down to the Rivers Casino to make a sports bet. I made a sports bet on the Golden Knights, which turned out they lost that game Saturday night. Oh, damn you, Golden Knights. But, well, I didn't bet the Penguins either. I mean, so that's good, because they lost too, so I would have lost two bets. But anyway, when I'm down there making a sports bet, you know I'm going to play craps. And here's the thing. I kind of crawled away from that craps table. I was up $41. And you think, oh, that's all right. No, it's not, because this is what happened. And I didn't participate. You know, sometimes it just happens. I didn't feel like taking a risk at parlaying. So I had a dollar on the 12, because I was playing, you know, I was playing deal or no deal. It was a $10 table. I had 10 on the pass line, 10 on the down pass, and a dollar on the 12. And a 12 comes up. This is just after a few rolls when I start to play. And, you know, so I threw two more dollars on it. I took that $30, threw two more dollars on it, and damn, doesn't it come up again? You know, so I win $90. Big deal. I would have won $900, you know, if I'd have parlayed it. But you think I'd learn a lesson? No. So in the game,
as I mentioned, I often pull if the established point becomes a 6 or an 8. I lift up my don't pass odds, and I lift up the don't too. Whoa, don't scream at me, because I'm just playing the pass line. Remember, I have money on the pass line when the game starts. So, you know, I put $20 behind, it was an 8, all right? And a hard 8 comes up. So I win the bet, so you know what? I throw a buck on the hard 8 for the next, you know, in case, what the hell? I just think, well, all right. So, you know what? Another point's established, so I'm on the don'ts again, and it wasn't a 6 or an 8, so I'm back to my don't bet, and a hard 8 comes up. No, sir. A hard 8 comes up. So I win $9. So I don't do anything with it. And doesn't it come up back to back? So really, if you had parlayed it, you'd have been over a grand. You'd have won a grand. All 3 times, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And so, you know, when the game was over, you know, I had an obligation. I had to leave the casino. And can you believe that? You know, back-to-back-to-back 8s, hard 8s, and consecutive 12s, and I walk away with $41 profit when I should have walked away with, you know, $2,000 profit from those 12s and 8s. Damn, you know? Sometimes it's well worth it to take the risk, you know? So I told somebody via email, wait till I get to Vegas. Man, I'm going to be risk crazy. I'm sorry. I'm so burned at myself. I don't follow my own advice sometimes. Oh, stupid. Somebody said, yeah, you're just unlucky. I said, yeah, I'm unlucky and I'm stupid. Okay. Well, that takes care of Crab Sock today.
So let's go on to part 3 of our podcast. Janie will be joining me, and we'll be discussing something that we saw on Netflix and we incorporated into our home and our life, and we're going to incorporate it into our travel to Las Vegas in a couple of days. And you may be doing this too. You might be part of the new craze that's sweeping the country. So a little music, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about someone who's from Japan and who's changing our world. Well, Janie, you're the reader right now among us, and you discovered this metaphysical approach to, I guess, happiness by reading several books. And let's talk about the author and the books.
Okay. Hi, everyone. It's Jane. Her name is Marie Kondo, and she has, as an author, that has 2 books out for sure. One, the first one is The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And that was just such a success. It caught everybody. It's the best book on organizing that I've ever seen. And I have lots of books on organizing, none of which I've followed real well. I get partway through them, and they're very hard to stick to. They're kind of annoying, actually. Everybody has their way of tidying up or organizing, and hers just happens to be the best, I think. She uses a Japanese approach to it, because that is her background. And the other book is called Spark Joy. And her favorite saying is that you only keep items that spark joy in your life. And, you know, really that makes a lot of sense.
I use the term metaphysical for the podcast because the history of Japan is such that there's just so many people and it's just an island. And so how you deal with the lack of space is almost a theological issue, you know, it's a spiritual issue. And also the fact that in America we're so materialistic that, you know, most middle-class Americans have far more things than they really need. In fact, you forget the things that you have. And she brings this message of sort of a spiritual aspect to it, that you should appreciate the things that you have and get rid of the things that you don't, what's that word, spark joy.
Spark joy.
So the pragmatic part of her approach, after you showed me, we watched some Netflix.
Oh, yeah, I did forget to mention, not only does she have the 2 books out, but because of their popularity, Netflix has done a series with her in it. There's 5 or 6 little episodes in the first series that's been put out. And if you haven't seen it yet, you really ought to catch it, because she goes right to the family's homes and shows you how all this is done.
Yeah, I didn't read the books, in full disclosure, but I did watch the Netflix series, and the pragmatic aspect for me, we did it. I did it with my clothes, and I learned how to fold clothes in a manner that I would have never figured out myself. And I actually freed up drawers and drawers, and the bureau drawers and chest drawers, etc., look so neat. I can't believe that I did it. And you taught me that you kind of reviewed how to fold clothes. So what was your take on how she folds clothes?
Well, I agree that her approach is the best I've seen in drawers, because the approach I've always used, and that most people I think have, is that you stack things on one another, you know, on top of each other. But hers is each one has a little space and they're side by side, so that when you open a drawer, you see everything, like every shirt, so that you know which one you want to wear, where in a pile, you just usually take the top ones.
I know some people have, we've talked about this some, because it really literally is going coast to coast. There's sort of a, what's the word, an appreciation or a joy in doing this.
Right, there is. It's funny. You become somewhat closer as a couple because you work to do this, and because you're looking at all these items and that spark joy, you become filled with joy, I think. And you might wonder why we're talking about all this on this podcast. However, we are applying it to packing for our many casino trips, you know, because sometimes they're one night, sometimes they're four nights, sometimes they're 2 weeks, sometimes they're across the country. We drive rather than fly. But so we've decided that, you know, we're going to use this approach of folding clothes and packing them just like we would do in our drawers. So we're looking forward to this next trip next week.
Yeah, you know, I take such a large suitcase and then I have to drag it. It's on wheels, but I'm still dragging it around. And now I'm going to take the smallest suitcase I have, one of those ones that will fit in a bin above the seats in the airplane, and we're flying Southwest in a couple of days. So I can't wait to pack. I'm so excited because I'll probably take almost as much as I always have, but it will be with the Marie Kondo. That's K-O-N-D.
Marie,
oh, I'm sorry. I do that with names. Marie Kondo, K-O-N-D-O. Her methodology in terms of packing. Also, as I look at those clothes, I am going to, you know, appreciate what I have more. You know, it's just, I know it sounds pagan almost to speak to inanimate objects, you know, and share your appreciation for what they have done for you, even if you're discarding them. But that's all part of that Japanese metaphysical aspect to her presentation. So we think that if you're unaware of Marie Kondo and her philosophy and her system, it could help you in your travels. And that's why I wanted to make it such a large part of this podcast. Janie, you want to bring this home to close up some
of
the things?
Well, I would just say that, you know, as we have opened drawers and we have opened wooden storage boxes, we've gone through closets, we find so many items that we didn't even know we had, or we forgot totally that we had. And I think, too, it helps you really appreciate what you do have, and how, you know, instead of buying something more, I think you could be more selective in your purchases. I have been, truly, I have been really, really much more selective.
And, you know, to summarize, you know, it's not like this is hypocrisy on our part. We're doing this ourselves, and we wanted to share that we think it's a very effective way to start to organize and tidy up, to use Kondo's term, and to prepare for travel. Obviously, this is going to be a big help for us, and we hope you check it out if you're not doing it now, and it might be such a big help to you. So to repeat, Marie Kondo is K-O-N-D-O, and she has a Netflix series, so you can catch it there, or you could take Janie's lead and get those books. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness, that's what Casinos USA is all about. And Casinos USA is a place where
every day is Saturday.
So long.